Welcome to That Is Good to Know Radio Show. This program focuses on you, the listener, by providing you information, strategies, and practical educational tips from successful seasoned business professionals. Now, with today's program, here's your host, Jeff Stanislow.
Hello, welcome back. This is That Is Good to Know with your host, Jeff Stanislow. We are excited today because we're going to learn a little bit about starting businesses and learn a little bit about the law. It's a very important thing to think about. A lot of people like have ideas in their head, want to pursue them, but don't actually get to the execution part because they're not sure what to do as far as starting a business. And today we have Derek Usman. He's an attorney at the Usman Law Firm who's going to help us out with that. How are you doing this morning, Derek?
Hey, Jeff. Yeah, it's Derek here. I'm doing good.
Well, thanks for spending some time. You know, we're going to dive right into this and kind of like hypothetically, let's say I got this radio show and I think it's going pretty well and, you know, it's growing and we're listening to people and I'm thinking about starting a business. You know, maybe at the top level, could you spend a little bit of time kind of thinking about, you know, how I would go about this and maybe what type of order or fashion I would think about it?
Sure. Just the main thing is just to get everything official with the state, just incorporate, of course, and just have all your minutes and paperwork ready, because even if it's one person, you need to have all those formalities in place, because the reason you're doing a corporation, the reason you start a corporation is for personal protection and asset protection purposes. And aside from that, there's also the tax aspects of it. But the main thing is you want to have all the formalities in place, because that will not expose you to personal liability.
Okay. So when you're starting a business and you got to think about like registering with the state, and there's different types, right? I've seen, you know, INCs and LLCs and DBAs and things of that nature. And you're listening to Derek Usman from the Usman Law Firm, who's sharing with us today about starting a business. So what direction or what type of incorporation should a small business do? Or how do you delineate, differentiate the direction that you should think about as far as your business?
Okay, for incorporation, Inc. is it designates a corporation, and LLC is the limited liability company. And those things are two different paths for your company. It's the reason you would choose one or the other is depending on if your partners or other shareholders. And again, half of everything about incorporating and having a formal entity is tax.
Okay.
You kind of need to know what your tax goals are. And when you're starting off, another thing is the revenues you're going to bring in. Like as a startup, you have some growth to go through, and initially, you might not choose one form or the other, depending on your projected revenues. And again, and even that, you can always convert down the road. Okay. So that all needs to be planned out at the outset.
So you're saying a lot of setting up a business is so you register with the state, and it provides you some protections. And then depending on the who's in the business, whether it's you, yourself, or if you have partners, that's kind of like when you got to, I guess, kind of define whether you're incorporated or an LLC. And, you know, we're going to have some of our friends come in that are CPAs, and we'll dive a little bit further on that in an upcoming episode about, like, the right class selection and how subchapter S work and, you know, flow-throughs and things of that nature. But we're listening again. This is Jeff Stanislow, your host from That Is Good to Know. Visit our website, thatisgoodtoknow.com. You'll see some great information available. We'll have this episode of the show with Derek Usman from Usman Law on the website as well. And we actually have some great offers from some of our people that have been on. We have some Valspar tickets available and Valspar information. Again, thatisgoodtoknow.com. Derek, moving into a little bit of a different direction on this, why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and you know, how you became a lawyer, and you know, what was the driving force, and what do you enjoy about being a lawyer, and maybe some of the things that are challenging for you?
Sure. Well, I'm mostly a litigation lawyer, and I do business litigation and employment law in federal and state courts. And the challenging part of that is that you're dealing with a lot of different dynamics, because I have to deal with judges and also opposing counsel, and also, of course, my own clients. So there's a lot of dynamics in place where different personalities, and you have to collaborate with these folks, and everybody has their agendas, and just have to coordinate everything.
Sure.
And keep in mind, the strategy of a case isn't just, you're not on an island. Like, if I'm drafting a buy-sell agreement or a partnership agreement, that doesn't really get tested until you take it to court, and that's
when
you
the proof's in the pudding.
Yeah, that's when you gotta. I'm sorry.
That's when the proof is in the pudding. Is when it gotta get put to test.
Right. And I was kind of emphasizing a bit ago about the tax part. Yeah, when you're starting a business, however, everything needs to be in writing with just, even if it's yourself, but especially when you have partners or other shareholders. And then one, the benefit that I have is that I do the the transactional part, and I draft those agreements, and I know where the potential pitfalls and the gaps are. And in federal and state, there's different rules. Like, you can't bring a case into federal, generally speaking, unless there's a federal law.
Okay.
And which court do you take it into? So there's a lot of variables. And so when you're starting a business, you don't necessarily need a lawyer for the basic things, but for the agreements, it's better to be, penny wise, pound foolish.
Okay. Yeah. That's really interesting when you say that. It's like, and I guess some of it has to do with where you're at in your business operations, right? You know, a lot of people think, well, you know, I have to go spend thousands of dollars with CPAs and lawyers to set up my business, and, you know, I got 6 months to a year runway before I even make any money and all this good jazz. It's like, I think it's okay for people just to kind of get started, and then maybe they can define some milestones but get started properly by, you know, hooking up with the state, in this case, the state of Florida, making sure that, you know, a brand or a domain or the name of the company is available. You would probably recommend do a search there, wouldn't you agree?
Yes. That's something basic that just a layperson can do. And even the agreements, LegalZoom, or just Google has a lot of documents and resources available. So something is better than nothing.
Sure.
Like, at least try to get some kind of agreement in paper, because an oral agreement is difficult to prove.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's the shake hands And, you know, we live in a more litigious society than ever before. We're talking again with Derek Usman from Usman Law. How would one get a hold of you, Derek? Quick, like, I want to let people know your website address or the best way to reach you, maybe a phone number or your website address, and not try to do like your email and stuff. So.
Sure, Jeff. It is usmanfirm.com. It's spelled that way. And phone number is 813-377-1197.
One more time on the phone number.
813-377-1197.
Okay, Derek, that's great. And it's Usman Firm, USMANfirm.com?
Correct.
All right, fantastic. Kind of moving in a little bit segment, we talked about researching your brand and your company name to see it. Can you like give us a few list of resources where you would send our listeners to go check out some things, if they're thinking about starting a business? And I know like the state of Florida has SunBiz. Maybe you can tell us listeners what you can do at SunBiz.
Yes, SunBiz will they have instructions that are user-friendly. Also, try out the Small Business Administration.
Okay.
That is a lot of resources. And without making it too complicated, there's private investor forums and for smaller companies. These are where you use accredited investors go for when they start up businesses. So there's a lot of resources for privately placed investments and not necessarily for large publicly held companies.
Okay. So how about locally? I mean, are there resources, like is there offices in Hillsborough County or in, your local municipality that might be able to help you, or at least think about starting a business?
Sure. One thing is chambers of commerce. Like if you're starting off, those folks can at least be a good stepping stone, especially, when I relocated here, but I joined a chamber. There's the West Shore Alliance over by the downtown area. I'm still a member of that.
Okay. And there's also startup resources. I know at Embark Collective, there's Tampa Bay Wave. All these resources are available for people that even before they have to incorporate, they can, sign up and go listen to some people speak. There's resources available to them and what have you. Lots of great information. This is Jeff Stanislow, and you're listening to That Is Good to Know. Our website is thatisgoodtoknow.com. Talking with attorney Derek Usman from usmanfirm.com. And he's been talking about small to medium-sized businesses. So we got a little bit about the setup and getting structured. We got a little bit about the research for maybe, making sure not we're, creating a company name that might be taken already. I recommend that you actually do some domain searches too to see if there's a possible domain that might be available for your business, from a marketing strategy side of things. But as the business starts to grow a little bit, you want to hire your first employee. You do a lot of employment law, Derek. What's kind of a good first step for as a business owner that's starting to look to grow? What are some of the check boxes that you would recommend to your clients to have before or very, very shortly after hiring, so their initial staff?
Right. Well, the one thing that's the biggest thing would be to designate them properly as a W-2 or a 1099 independent contractor, because where that is a big pitfall is there's the statute allows for attorney fees if you're ever sued for misclassification.
Oh, okay.
So even if you, if it's W-2 employee is characterized as a 1099 and you don't pay them even if after the calculations, if it's not even like an hour, if an hour's worth of wages and say $20, you could be stuck for thousands of dollars of attorney fees because those are mandatory attorney fees under those rules. That's what gives that rule some bite, is that you would be on the hook for attorney fees. So a lot of startups, they don't bring in folks as a W-2, and that would be, you really have to be careful with that. You just, that's something I couldn't emphasize enough.
Okay. Let me, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, a lot of what law does is not only really kind of focuses on, it's about protection, right? You know, I mean, when it comes down to this, you want to protect yourself, protect you from starting a business, protect your personal assets, and kind of create a layer that doesn't make you directly responsible. They call what piercing the company veil, their corporate veil. In regards to, tell us, what does that mean? I mean, I hear about it and what have you. Is it just like this literal thing, or is it like this figurative thing? Tell us what piercing the corporate veil is all about.
Okay, well, that is when, if in a lawsuit, the piercing would expose the principal for personal liability. That's where I was getting into, Jeff, at the beginning, was the having the meetings and all the incorporations paper in place, even if it's one person. Because if I sued your company and I said, hey, there's no formalities in place, this isn't even a real company, and even if at the end of the day, even if I don't prevail on that, think of the hassle you're going to have to go through just to defend that.
Yeah, that's true.
Just because you didn't have it, your meetings in place, and it doesn't have to be perfect and precise, or
right.
Like something is better than nothing. Like a judge can say, "Hey, he was trying here." That's okay. All they want to see, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. See some action towards being a good steward of your business, I would imagine, goes a long ways in a judge's eye, or, you know, when they have to come and make a ruling.
Correct. And a lawyer isn't going to pursue piercing the veil if there's enough documentation in place. They wouldn't really have a legitimate basis to pursue going after the owners.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. This is Jeff Stanislow, and you're listening to That Is Good to Know. We hope that you're getting some information that is, you can say to yourself, that is good to know. You can visit our website at www.thatisgoodtoknow.com for our interview here with Derek Usman from usmanfirm.com. He's a lawyer helping out all our small businesses owners. He actually does big business too, but this segment we're just kind of focusing on maybe getting started, sharing some wisdom there and what have you. So as the company grows, we talked about employment and, you know, what have you, and I know you do a lot of employment law. Maybe talk to me about, it doesn't have to be an interesting client that you might have, you know, it's story time, Derek. Tell us a little story about, you know, something that you did that was an interesting case that you can share. Of course, we wouldn't want you to not share, because we are going to be listened to by potentially millions of people here in the greater Tampa Bay. But something that you worked through and was proud of, and that you tell some people.
Right. What segment of law are you interested in? An employment law?
Yeah, sure. An employment law case would probably be great. You know, We had COVID here, probably some frustrated employees that, you know, maybe didn't want to get vaccinated or got vaccinated. What type of rights that might they have? Or, you know, something else that you maybe just in fresh of your mind that when, you know, you're having a little conversation with someone at a networking event and, you know, they're asking you what you do and you, you know, dive in a little bit deeper and you say, yeah, and I just, you know, this just happened to me, which was really interesting. I'd like to hear a little bit more.
Yeah, sure, sure. Well, there was a during COVID or right after that, you heard of non-compete litigation. And right now, the federal government is trying to curtail non-compete agreements because it was even for more smaller scale employees. Like if I'm a hairdresser, I had a hairdresser client, and she was being sued for non-compete, and this isn't like you're dealing trade secrets,
okay?
And this isn't like you have the Coca-Cola secret. secret ingredient list, and
you ran
off with it.
So you got a hairdresser that's like, what's she doing? Is she doing haircuts on the side during the pandemic, or she, you know, what?
No, she quit.
Okay,
she quit. Okay. And they said, well, you can't work it in 20 miles around here, and we all know there's like a haircut place like every few blocks.
Right, right. And they wanted to give her a 20-mile radius where she couldn't work?
Correct, correct.
Okay.
So what the leverage I used was that during COVID, they didn't follow their protocols properly, and she had respiratory issues.
Okay.
So that just kind of gives you leverage for... And these things all intersect.
Sure.
Like rules and like you kind of have to have a good background with different kind of rules to present these claims and defenses and counterclaims properly.
Okay.
So it's kind of like when you, if you put up shelving at your house, like you kind of should know a little bit about drywall and how much load it can bear and
where the studs are.
Right. Yes. Yes. So
yeah.
In law, okay. it helps to have a broad litigation background.
That's interesting.
So I can bring it. So in a non-compete situation, which is traditionally when it's legitimate, like if I'm taking my, if you gave me a lot of training and you have customer lists and confidential information, and then it's a legitimate business interest to protect that. But when it's like a haircut lady who gave her some scissors or something, and
right.
And, I'm not minimizing their art.
No, not at all.
Still.
Not at all. We got about a minute left. And so part of this thing, let's kind of cut to the chase. Let's see what happened here to your client that was at a salon. And then I'm going to wrap up with an interesting thought. So what happened? Were you able to get her back into a seat at a local shop?
Yeah, they actually had filed a suit against her, and we got the lawsuit dismissed.
Okay.
Because I had that leverage, and where we didn't have to litigate the issues.
Sure.
We told them that we would file with the proper agency to initiate it was a disability claim.
Ah.
A disability discrimination claim.
Okay. This is Jeff Stanislow, and you're listening to That Is Good to Know. We've had a great session here with Derek Usman from usmanfirm.com, an attorney, kind of diving into the intricacies about starting a business here in the Florida, growing your business, adding some people. We had a unique story about one of his clients that was going through a pandemic situation and was able to, you know, get out of a non-compete because of the skill set that Derek brings to the table. And that was one of the things, as we wrap up here, Derek, that's been of interest, is just kind of how, like, knowing more about different areas of fields can actually help you create leverage for your clients. And a lot of times, that's in essence what it is. So, Derek Usman from Usman Law, usmanfirm.com. I really appreciate you spending the time here with That Is Good to Know. And as we always say at the end of the show here, we hope that our listeners learned something and they can say, hey, man, that was good to know. Thanks a lot. This is Jeff Stanislow signing off.